Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you may happen to be on God's glorious earth. Welcome to Balance Point. It has been a while since we've recorded. We've had a lot of stuff that's just come up for us. A lot of good stuff that is happening. And so we want to get back into our study of God's Word. We have been studying the book of Luke. And we are still in chapter 1. This is going to be the last part of our study of Luke chapter 1. And we're going to be beginning at verse 57. That is Luke chapter 1. Verse 57, and we're hopefully going to make it to the end of the chapter. There we go. But before we begin our study, let's begin as we always do begin with a word of prayer. Let us bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come both boldly yet humbly before your throne tonight. As we study your word, as we stand on the second pillar of the balance point, which is the word of God. Father God, give us wisdom as you instruct us through your word. Father God, let your grace shine upon us as we learn of, not just what happened historically, but Father God, what happened, what this means in each of our lives. We thank you, Father God, for this time in your word, in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Luke chapter 1, and we are beginning in verse 57. Today we are going to be studying the birth of John. We've seen the annunciation of John's birth. We have seen the annunciation of the birth of Jesus to Mary. We've studied Mary's visit to her relative, Elizabeth. And now Mary has gone home. And it's time for Elizabeth to give birth. And so we dig in right here in verse 57. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her and were rejoicing with her. As it happened on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth, that's Zacharias, was open and his tongue loose. And he began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in all of the hill country of Judea. All who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be? For the hand of the Lord is certainly with him." Now, in this first part of today's study, we want to look at John's birth. And the first thing that we notice is that in John's birth, God is working outside of what is normally considered ordinary. Let's look at this. Elizabeth had been barren. Now, the Bible says that Elizabeth was old. The King James says, well stricken in years. But we know that that would be roughly equivalent to our middle age because Zechariah was a priest serving, and the mandatory retirement for the priesthood was 50 years old. So we know that they were at least in their 40s, but younger than their 50s, which for most people is past the age when many people will be giving birth to babies. And so the first thing we want to notice is that God does not work according to the expectations of man. God works in his own ways. God works in his own timing. And God does things that break out of our expectations. Look at the miracles that Jesus did. Sometimes he spoke to the situation. Sometimes he applied something to the situation, like when he spit into the dirt and he made mud and he applied it to the blind man's eyes. Sometimes he did a miracle in a way that the whole world saw. And sometimes he did miracles in private, as in the raising of Jairus' daughter. Not once did Jesus do things in the way that mankind expected him to do. Even the death on the cross was God working out his plan in a way that man did not expect. The Jewish people of the day of Jesus expected that the Messiah would come in and be a military leader, a military conqueror. And yet Jesus died on the cross as a humble teacher. So the first thing we notice is that when God is working in our lives, it often will not appear as we expect. God works outside of the ordinary. God works outside of the expectations of others. And we get that from verse 59. And it happened on the eighth day when they came to circumcise the child, they were going to name him Zacharias after his father. And that makes perfect sense. In the traditions of humankind, in the traditions of the time, the son would have been named after the father or after one of the major patriarchs of that family. That would be the expectation. But when God calls us to a work, when God calls us to a life, the life that God calls us to is going to be different than the expectation that those around us have for our lives. You know, as I was meditating on this and as I was preparing this lesson, I came up with the perfect analogy. The word says that there is one gate and one road that is narrow and it leads to God. And the gate and the road that leads to God is through Jesus Christ. But here is something that we need to consider about that road. All of us that are Christ followers are on the road that Jesus has set before us. But the way that you and I experience that road will be vastly different. Imagine, if you will, loading up the youth in a bunch of vans to go on a youth retreat. And you have 3, 4, 5 vans. And all of you are taking the same route from the church to the retreat center. You're on the same road. And yet each van will experience that trip differently. And that's going to be because maybe one van hits certain potholes and the other vans don't. It's going to be because of the mix of people that are in each van. But you see, the call that God puts on our lives is to follow Jesus. And to follow through that narrow road that is Jesus. But the way we experience that narrow road may be vastly different from the person that is sitting right next to us. The way I experience the road of Christ may be vastly different than the way my wife experiences that road. Even though we are together, even though we are moving in the same direction. The other thing that we should notice is that not everybody is going to understand the call. And not everybody is going to want to accept what you have heard from God. Watch this. Back to verse 59 again. And it happened on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, he shall be called John." You see, she had heard the call that was put on the baby's life. But watch verse 61. And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives that's called by that name." Quite often, God's call on our lives, God's plan for our lives, will not conform to the expected traditions that others have saddled us with. You see, they were into the tradition, okay, he's going to be called Zacharias. This is a priestly house. He's going to be a priest ministering in the temple. But that isn't what God called him to do. God called this baby that was called John to be the herald, the forerunner of the Christ. And the people could not accept that that is what God had called this child to be and to do. Add to that, that during this time, the testimony of a woman was looked down upon. And so they were ready to blow off what the mother, Elizabeth, was going to say. At this time, culturally, a testimony of a slave was held in higher esteem than the testimony of a woman. The next thing that we notice is that the people did not necessarily get how God was moving in the parents' lives. Verse 62, and they made signs to the father as to what he wanted him, as in what Zacharias wanted the baby to be called. Here's the thing. Zacharias was made mute because of his disbelief. He was mute, but he wasn't deaf. You see, the people misunderstood the sign of the life of Zacharias in the fact that he was mute during his wife's pregnancy. And so they misunderstood, they misinterpreted the silence for not hearing. And that's something that we can fall into. As we are seeking to hear from God, sometimes God chooses to be silent. And we misinterpret his silence for him not hearing. They misinterpreted the silence of Zacharias for the fact that Zacharias could not hear and understand what they were saying. But then when Zacharias was obedient and named the child John, everybody was astonished. And that brings us to the next point, that even though we don't necessarily understand it, obedience will bring forth praise. Verse 64, all at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak the praise of God. You see, Zacharias' act of obedience, Zacharias' act of faith was naming the child John as he had been instructed to by the angel Gabriel. And when that happened, his tongue was released, and he began to speak praise of God. And what was the result? Those that were around him became afraid. And the stuff that God was doing was getting talked about. And people were astonished. You see, here's something that we have to take from this section of the chapter, and it is very simply this. God does not work in our lives in an ordinary way that is understandable. I'm not saying that God all the time peels back the sky, sticks his face through the sky, and says, "Hi, I'm God, and this is what I'm doing." But as God works out things in our lives, sometimes very obviously supernaturally, but more often than not in the regular things that just kind of work out. People are not going to understand. And it is only at the tail end of the working out of God's plan that people get it. And then when they do get it, they're going to be afraid. So what are the steps that we have seen? First, the call comes. And at first, when we're called, we have joy. Might be a little afraid, but we have joy. Those around us will have joy. But then when it comes time to put a name to what God has told us, there will be certain among our circles that will attempt to mold the call as they see fit, according to their traditions, according to their plans, according to their ideas. But we must stand firm when that happens and be obedient to the name of God and to what God has named. We must stand firm and, if necessary, get support from those who understand our call in standing for our call with us. Elizabeth understood the call. She said, "No, indeed, he shall be called John." But the people pushed back. "There's nobody among your relatives called by that name." And it was when her husband, Zacharias, came alongside of her and supported her understanding of the call and wrote, "His name is John," then the praise could be loosed. You see, here's the thing. If God has truly spoken to you, God's word will be confirmed by others around you. Just recently witnessed a situation that came up in church. The call for prophetic word had been put out from the pulpit. And a member of the church got up and said he had a word. And he delivered the word, and the reaction to the congregation was literally jaws hitting floor as this person delivered the word that they had heard from God. And it turned out that what they were speaking forth was confirmation of what members of the congregation were going through. Now, this person did not know what had been up the previous few days. They were just speaking what God had laid on their heart. But what God had laid on their heart was a message that confirmed for those members of the congregation what they had already been hearing from God. You see, God will always confirm his word. And when God confirms his word, those who are of the more traditional setting will be amazed. Those who are not used to God speaking like that will be afraid. And those who are at the fringes will question. And where do I get that? God's word is confirmed. Verse 63, and he asked for a tablet, and he wrote, his name is John. Zacharias confirmed the word of God that had been spoken to him by Gabriel, that he had somehow relayed to his wife, Elizabeth. And when Zacharias confirmed the word that had been given to him, his tongue was opened. And because of this manifestation of God's power, fear came on those who were living around them. And it began to be talked about around them. And the question was, what then will this child turn out to be? What then will this work of God turn out to be? Why would they ask that? Because they were thinking traditionally. And God was moving supernaturally. And I want to close out, and I'm not going to try to teach through this prophecy, but I want you to listen to what Zacharias had to say. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. First thing I want you to notice is prophecy is not necessarily telling the future. It is telling God's heart. So Zacharias says, blessed be the God of the Lord God of Israel. What's blessed mean? Joy-filled. Joyful is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. So apparently by now, Zacharias knows that Gabriel has visited Mary. Well, I would hope that he kind of figured that out, because Mary just got done staying with them for 3 months. And I am almost certain that Elizabeth and Mary were talking about what these supernatural children were that was growing inside of them. So watch this. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. He has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of his sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So this is a prophecy of John. But this is also the prophecy of his relative, Jesus. So this is literally Zechariah speaking. And here's what's interesting. He's actually quoting from the Old Testament all throughout here. All throughout here. Watch this. A horn of salvation for us. A horn of salvation spoken of in 1 Samuel 2:1. Psalm 18:2. 89:17, 132:17, Ezekiel 29:21. He spoke to them by the mouth of his holy prophets from old. Salvation or deliverance from our enemies. Psalm 106:10. Zechariah is prophesying, but he's prophesying directly from the Word of God. Do you realize? Here's something that's cool about prophecy. When you read the Bible, you're being prophesied to. Yeah. When you hear a sermon, it's prophecy. So Zechariah is repeating all of these scripture to show mercy toward our fathers. Micah 7:20. And to remember his holy covenant. Psalm 105:8 and 42. Psalm 106:45. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Genesis 22:16. They didn't have the book of Hebrews, so I'm not going to mention that one. In holiness, and that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all of our days. I'm not going to mention that. This is like a pre-prophecy. That references Ephesians. But I'm interested in all the Old Testament prophecies that he's mentioning. Your child would be called, and you, child, would be called the prophet of the Most High God. I'm not going to call that one because that's still New Testament. I'm really interested. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Malachi 3:1. And to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. You see, salvation was always going to be tied to redemption. Jeremiah 31:34. For which the sun rise on high, Malachi 4:2, will visit us to shine upon those, Isaiah 9:2, who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our way, our feet in the way of peace, Isaiah 59:8. And watch this, and the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearing to Israel. And so that is the birth of John. But in the birth of John, we get so many insights into the call for our own lives. And we see so many parallels. And so let me just review the parallels. God works out of the ordinary. God works in the ordinary in unordinary ways. Birth of a child is pretty ordinary. What made it extraordinary was the fact that Elizabeth was well advanced in years. And when God begins to work in your life, others aren't always going to accept the way God is doing it and what you are hearing from God. Because you see, the call is going to come, and at first there's going to be joy. Dude, he got off drugs. He's not drinking, yada, yada, yada. And then it's like, dude, why don't you party with us anymore? See, at first there's joy. But then there's going to be questioning about the call. Did you really hear from God that, you know, you should clean up your whole life? Do you really hear from God that you should be praying and you should be lifting your hands up and singing all the time? You see, when the time of the naming of your calling comes, others are going to try to go, yeah, well, we don't pray lifting up our hands. We don't believe that the Holy Spirit still manifests himself through the gifts of the Spirit. Well, which gifts of the Spirit don't you believe in? Oh, well, we don't believe in those 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 gifts. But you do still believe in the gifts that are in Ephesians? You still believe in the administration gifts? If the other gifts stop, guess what? The gifts that you like also stopped. But that's a whole nother sermon. When we're questioned about what God said, we need to stand firm in what God gave us. And if necessary, we need to get the support of those who understand the call that God has put upon our lives. And understand that when we get that support, God's word will be confirmed. If it's really God, God doesn't have a problem repeating himself, so that we and everybody around us understands that this was really a word from God. Let me tell you, I have yet to have God get angry with me when I said, God, if this is really you, make it plain to me. And if this is not you, make it go away. God doesn't get angry about that. And when God speaks to us, God will confirm what he has said. And here's the thing. When we sell all out and we begin to move as God has commanded us to move, we're going to be called crazy. We're going to be called fanatics. When we begin to see the power of God manifesting in our lives, as we speak life into others, as we help others to become what God has given them vision to become, as we support others in their walk, as they follow the narrow path of Christ, people are going to get afraid. And they're going to try to shut you down. But don't be afraid. Because when you walk according to God's ways, people are going to talk. And then they're going to question. And the result of walking according to God's ways is going to be our ability to praise God. To praise God. That's what we are going to have as our ability. And so I want to encourage you, listen for the call of God on your life. Listen for the still small voice that says, go this way. And do not be afraid of what others think. Because with you plus God, that's a majority. And know that we here at Balance Point are praying for you. We are lifting you up. We are taking you before the throne of God. Why? Because that's what we do. The word says that we should lift each other up daily with prayer and supplication. Let's bow our hearts. Father God, we thank you for this time in your word. And we ask, Father God, in the mighty name of your son, Yeshua, that you would bless this word. Let it not return void, but let it go forth to do what you have designated for it to do. Thank you, Father God, for this time in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. We would love to, we invite you to contact us. On the screen, you will find our contact information. And if you're listening via the vodcast or whatever, I will read it off to you. You can send us snail mail, and I have to actually update the address. I will be updating the address before the next video, I promise. Because we'll have a new address. In fact, I'm probably going to get us a nice P.O. box because we'll be living closer to where we can get to a P.O. box easily. But here we go. If you want to email us, you can email me at staff@balance-point.org, staff@balancepoint.org. You can reach us via private message from our Facebook page at balance, full stop or period, point CC. That's our Facebook address, facebook.com/balance.pointcc. You can contact us via our YouTube channel, youtube.com user for youtube.com/user/balancepointchurch. And we would love to hear from you. We love to hear what God is doing and what you are learning from these lessons. And now that we have actually accomplished some of the things that we need to accomplish, I can announce that part of the reason why we have been a little bit slow putting up videos is because we have been in the process of moving. We have not moved yet. We had to take care of all the paperwork. In fact, the last of the paperwork literally just came in this evening. And so we're taking care of the paperwork. And in fact, this weekend, we're going to begin the process of moving Balance Point. And so over the next month, we will still be a little bit sporadic, not quite as solid in getting videos up. But once we hit April, we will have a new location, an actual proper studio office. And we will once again be regularly posting to Facebook and to YouTube and to the Balance Point website. And by the way, you can find all of our messages, or as many as hasn't gotten lost by the server, at balance-point.org/sermons. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We pray that God may richly bless you and may lift your head and may set your feet upon his solid path. In the name of his son, Jesus. Amen and amen.